Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. There's been a lot of racism against Latinos during this presidential election campaign, most of it from Donald Trump. And then last week, the focus of the hate abruptly turned to Asians. And it didn't come only from Trump, but from Jeb Bush, the most pro-immigrant candidate in the crowded Republican field. At an event last Monday, Mr. Bush was asked about the offensive term, anchor babies.
Do you worry that using the term anchor babies could affect your ability to win the Hispanic vote?
Look, as I said in Spanish, my background, my life, the fact that I'm immersed in the immigrant experience, this is ludicrous for the Clinton campaign and others to suggest that somehow I'm using a derogatory term. What I was talking about was the specific case of fraud being committed where there's organized efforts, and frankly, it's more related to Asian people coming into our country, having children, in that organized efforts, taking advantage of a noble concept with his birthright citizenship.
Mr. Trump then lashed out on Twitter. Later in the week, Bush was asked to explain why he accused Asians of having so-called anchor babies.
I was wondering if you regret your use of the term anchor babies and your scapegoating of the Asian immigrant community yesterday and your explanation for the use of that term.
So, look, my record is pretty clear. I'm married to a Mexican-American, United States citizen. I'm immersed in the culture. I'm bilingual. I feel like I'm bicultural. I'm proud of the diversity of my own family. And my record, not just yesterday, but over my lifetime, is one that people can look at. I was talking about a very narrow-casted system of fraud where people are bringing pregnant women in to have babies to get birthright citizenship. I support birthright citizenship, by the way. I support it. I think that is a noble thing that we should do. But we've got to control the immigration system in this country. We have to control our borders. We have to deal with the fraud. We have to deal with the visa overstayers. 40% of people that come to this country come with a legal visa and they just stay. They immerse themselves into the community. If we're serious about being a country of immigrants, then we need to enforce the laws so that legal immigration is respected and illegal immigration is not easier than legal immigration. So I appreciate the comment, but I'm 62 years old. When I was 17 years old, I fell in love with Columba Garnica de Bush, and it's going to be really hard for me to get lectured to by anybody about the politics of immigration.
Joining me now to discuss what is behind the Asian bashing in the election is Vincent Pan. He's Executive Director of Asian Americans for Civil Rights and Equality and Chinese for Affirmative Action. Welcome to Uprising, Vincent.
Good morning.
Now, can you explain where the term anchor babies, quote unquote, came from and why it's so offensive?
Well, it's actually been around for a while. And I think more recently, it started to emerge really as a way of suggesting that Latino immigrants were coming to the United States to have children who then would gain American citizenship, and that would essentially anchor them. And anchor their family to be able to stay in this country. I think that what Bush is referring to here is oftentimes a practice that's described as birth tourism. And so I think the two different issues often get conflated, mm-hmm. But they're really part and parcel as the same type of fear-mongering, essentially suggesting that people who come to the United States from non-white countries are somehow doing so to take advantage of the American system, that somehow are more dishonest or not to be trusted in ways that other ways of immigration from European countries have not been subjected to.
And actually, Vincent, on this issue of an undocumented person having a child in the United States, even if that child obviously through our birthright citizenship gets citizenship, and then if they turn around and, you know, years later, because as babies they can't very well file legal paperwork, years later file any legal paperwork to sponsor their parents, even that method, even that path for parents to get legalization is extremely long and extremely arduous, isn't it?
That's right. You know, and so I think that one of the things that's happening here is that, you know, presidential candidates in this campaign season that's really grounded in fear and loathing are trying to find isolated anecdotes, stories that somehow suggest that there's something insidious going on, this so-called invasion of immigrants that that Bobby Jindal has described. And so, like, in reality, the numbers that we're talking about here are very, very small. And at the same time, the process is very, very difficult. So to somehow suggest that the path towards being able to live a life with some dignity and respect for undocumented immigrants is, is somehow easy, I think is absurd.
And where do you think it came from that Jeb Bush, when confronted about his use of the term anchor babies, backtracked so clumsily, essentially saying, wait, I love Latinos. I'm married to a Mexican woman. I speak Spanish. I'm immersed in the culture. It's actually those Asians over there.
Yeah.
And do you think that was sort of out of the blue that he didn't even realize he was going to say it and now he's kind of stuck?
Well, I do think that he was trying to refer to something different that's happening, which is, in some parts of California and in Los Angeles, there have been these so-called, birth motels. Again, very, very small on numbers of people who've been, implicated in this birth tourism. I think he pivoted to that in part because he is trying to appeal to a slightly more diverse base than Donald Trump. So on the one hand, to defend against accusations of racism against Latinos, he very quickly moved to scapegoat Asians. I think what Donald Trump is doing is actually something very different. And I think by attacking, birthright citizenship, by attacking, the very large, not only immigrant community, but the Mexican, not just the undocumented immigrant community, but the entire Mexican American community, I think is sort of even broader swipe and slur.
Now, even on this issue of birth tourism that Jeb Bush was trying to refer to, and there was some news coverage of this practice, it's actually technically not illegal unless the person who's having a child in the United States overstays their visa to do so. So women who are pregnant, and many of them might be basically trying to work around China's one-child rule, would come to the U.S. They're not crossing a border without papers, they're flying in through an international airport with a visa and paying somebody to take care of them while they have their child here. And then they can go back with their child because China allows them to have a second child. This is actually wealthy Chinese folks, mostly.
Yeah. That's right. There's nothing illegal about the practice. The children are returning with the parents back to China. It's something that oftentimes occurs between mainland China and Hong Kong for the reason you cited in terms of navigating the one-child policy, but also sometimes I think concerns about the quality of healthcare that people can receive. But I think that it takes on this very different tone and it's used to incite fear and bigotry in this sense of difference. And I think that's the underlying sort of current in so much of what we're seeing in the Republican primary, that they continue to look for different groups to blame, and that's what binds them together.
Now, let's talk about the anti-Asian rhetoric specifically as it should be viewed through the lens of history, because, of course, the U.S. has a long history of hateful rhetoric and actions. Do Bush and Trump play up the so-called yellow peril fears with their language?
Well, they do. I don't think it's something that is new to them. We see this going back, throughout the history of presidential campaigns. I think there may have been a slight cooling off period where it was somehow less fashionable for some of the Republicans to be so overt about it. And I think what we're seeing now is, especially with Donald Trump, just this sort of unabashed revelry and celebrating the idea that some parts of the United States want to be sort of tougher, not just against immigrants and Asian American immigrants, but against Asia in general. Mm-hmm. And so there is this link between denigrating and raising xenophobic fears against immigration, but you also see it in the way they talk about foreign policy and trade policy too.
So let's actually play the clip of Donald Trump's comments that came after Jeb Bush's. This is what he said last week.
I mean, negotiating with Japan, negotiating with China, when these people walk in the room, they don't say, "Oh, hello, how's the weather? It's so beautiful outside. Isn't it lovely? How are the Yankees doing? Oh, they're doing wonderful. Great." They say, "We want deal." He'd jump out of the seat.
Now, do you find that offensive, what he said, the way he said it, "We want deal"?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think what he's doing is caricaturizing an entire group of people. In hearing, he's clearly going for a laugh. So, and he gets it. He gets it from his audience. I think the idea that people from Asia are again somehow tougher negotiators or not as truthful in their business dealings is part of an ongoing stereotype. And one that it does affect Americans of Asian descent here in this country.
Now, will these comments coming from these Republican candidates, you think, change the dynamics of the race very much? I mean, are any portions of Asians going to defect from the GOP towards the Democrats because of Jeb Bush and Donald Trump's comments?
I think so. I mean, so many members of the Asian American community are either new voters, first-time voters. And presidential races are oftentimes the first introduction to the different political parties. And I think that when you see this, and maybe you're not as well read on specific policies, but you see this playing out in broader media, it does, I think, impact one's perception. That being said, over the last few decades, the numbers of Asian Americans who have voted for the Republicans has been declining. And I think the support for the Democratic candidate probably peaked with Obama's election and re-election, and now we're starting to see it level off a little bit. Because, there's clearly plenty of racism and homophobia, misogyny within Asian communities as well. Hmm. But when community members see the way that it's celebrated against our community members, I do think it gives people pause.
How important, finally, is it, Vincent, for communities like Latinos and Asians to come together around political issues? These sorts of elections can get so ugly. Donald Trump just released a Willie Horton-style ad against Jeb Bush over the last 24 hours. And it's that divisiveness that can be easily sown between communities is something that presidential candidates love to play up.
Well, I think that it's not only important, I think it's critical. For political reasons, but also for ethical reasons. I think that politically, along with African Americans, Asians and Latinos do comprise the new majority, here in California and what will be the new majority in the United States. And I think it becomes incumbent upon us then ethically to develop a politic that is inclusive, that is fair, that is compassionate. And so even if it takes some sense of defending or protecting ourselves against bigotry to bring people together, it ought to lead us to a politics that is aspirational as well, so that it isn't just pushing back against the racism and the misogyny, the homophobia that we see coming from some of these Republican candidates, but to actually foster something that is values based and inclusive. Mm-hmm.
And Asians are currently the fastest growing immigrant group in the country, even more than Latinos, although in absolute numbers, Latinos are still a bigger group. Vincent, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Give out a website that listeners and viewers can get more information.
Sure. People can visit Chinese for Affirmative Action at caasf.org and Asian Americans for Civil Rights and Equality, which is a broader network, at aacre.org.
And we'll post those to our website, uprisingwithsonali.com, later today. Thanks so much, Vincent.
Thank you.
Vincent Pan is the executive director of Asian Americans for Civil Rights and Equality, and also with Chinese for Affirmative Action. This is Uprising. We'll be right back after this break.